For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan. And this story is part of a two-part look into the psychological effects of the COVID pandemic on frontline healthcare workers. The first thing to know is that there are two front lines, the emergency room and the room you get sent to from the emergency room. The second thing to know is the workers on these two fronts are dealing with very different environments.
Well, in the moment, and I think this is something that's unique about people who choose emergency care and like it, is that you're just really detached from it. It's not that you don't care, you care very much, but you just do what you're trained to do in the moment.
This surprisingly calm voice belongs to Pamela Wright, an ER nurse in Columbia and admitted fan of the steady adrenaline drip that emergency room work entails. In most ways, ER care is ER care, a theater of controlled mayhem and very fast decisions. But COVID has altered the way ER care is given, and that's what Wright says could prove most problematic for emergency room workers over time.
I think the big thing you're going to see is the just absolute mental and physical exhaustion. Your senses are dulled. It's harder to hear people. You can't touch people. I mean, doing an assessment, for example, listening to their breath sounds, how can you? You have on goggles and a mask, and or the PAPR, which has a fan in it, and you all you hear, and that's going to take a huge toll on people, wondering, did I do everything? Did I hear everything?
An advantage that allows ER nurses to detach, Wright says, is that they only see patients for a couple of hours at most. There's no time to develop personal connections. It's quite the opposite for nurses like April Hutto.
I am a family nurse practitioner that's been working as a hospitalist at Prisma.
That puts Hutto on the floor where admitted patients go to recover, or often don't. And the suffering and angst that she sees on this front line gets heavy.
The grief and the anxiety of patients can be overwhelming and heartbreaking when you're taking care of a patient that you know is going to die.
That might be as soon as 6 or 8 hours. It might be over a few days, but it's enough time to let one dwell on things like this.
You are somebody's potential last conversation before they are no longer able to talk. To call families and say, your loved one can't talk to you, but this is what we need to do if we want to try to keep them alive. This is what's wrong with them. And you can't come see them. You can't come say goodbye, but they're going to die here.
The underscore for all the anxiety is maybe the most insidious thing that COVID-19 brings. Loneliness. The emptiness of possibly seeing your life come to a close, cut off from human contact. For healthcare workers, it's an unfair comeuppance for their empathy.
There is the physician in New York who obviously killed herself in the midst of all the COVID stuff. I know of somebody else who is a healthcare worker that has done that as well. I think for the patients, especially the elderly and those that already suffer from a mental health issue, this is exceptionally hard. We're not meant to be isolated people. You know, we need each other.
What often makes things worse for healthcare workers is actually themselves, as Lamar Suber explains.
There is a stigma that is within the healthcare field where you don't necessarily talk about or reach out for either mental health or addiction support because you don't want to be looked at as someone who is not able to perform their job.
Suber is the project director for SC Hopes, a newly established free hotline for South Carolinians that also has a dedicated team of mental health and substance abuse counselors on hand specifically for healthcare workers dealing with the pandemic. It's a great idea, but so far that part of the line has been quiet.
We have received very little outreach from healthcare workers. We haven't actually had as many as we would have hoped to come in and seek help from our support line.
Suber says that's probably due to a combination of stigma and a lack of awareness that SC Hopes actually exists. He says he plans to do more outreach to healthcare workers so that they know they don't need to go it alone. Anyone in need of some help can call 844-SC-HOPES. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan.